Any announcements or? No. Just curious. Chris Houston put something out that he had flu.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Calvin was just talking about the hits that he took in Minnesota left him with some nerve damage. How has that affected his play?
You know, I mean, he's obviously been effective regardless. I mean, he's had a bunch of different things come up this year, particularly his knees, but goes out and affects the game the way that he does. I mean, that's no different than, you know, Adrian Peterson coming off an ACL and still finding a way to be effective. Great players can do that.
Does that help cause the knee problems at all, or are those two separate issues?
Nah, two separate things.
Jim, why hasn't Ronnell Lewis been able to be successful in the role that you drafted him for?
Well, he's a young player, still learning his craft and working his way through. I mean, we saw a lot of our young players doing the same kind of things. Everybody can get impatient, with a lot of different guys. Not everybody, you know, goes in and has success right away. It's a work in progress for a lot of people. You know, I think, go back about 3 weeks, we were fielding the same questions about Broyles. You know, how come he hasn't been successful and things like that. You know, a lot of times just an opportunity, he's still developing.
What about Percy Harvin? It looks like it's odds on he might not play, but how dangerous a player is he?
As dangerous as they come. Yeah, he can do it all on a football field. I honestly think that he could play running back full time. He does part time for him. You give him a couple reps, he could play quarterback. He could play safety. He'd probably be a good corner. He'd be a good linebacker. He could probably rush the passer, return kicks.
How about coach?
He's too good for that. Extra point, kickoff. He's just that guy, you know, that guy that's just a good football player. Over the course of his career, you watch when the offense turns the ball over, an interception or a fumble, you know, he's almost always the guy that makes the tackle. And he's not just, you know, just grabbing him and pulling him down. There's some contact involved. He just does it all, short passes, long passes. He's a very, very good player. And I think, I mean, obviously we didn't win the game last time, but, he's the leading receiver in the National Football League. And we allowed him to return a kick for a touchdown. But on defense, I think he had 3 catches for about 20 yards or so. So us being able to keep ourselves in the game defensively and only giving up 6 points on defense, a lot of that was due to limiting Percy Harvin's opportunities, number one, and then what he did when he did have the ball in his hands after that.
How'd you guys do that on Percy? Who was primarily responsible for
that? There was nobody that was really primarily. I think the guys all did a good job of executing the plan that we had. We did a good job of tackling. You know, they had a couple times. I think 2 of them in particular that come to mind. One time Silva got him when he was in the backfield. And then another time, Chris Houston got him on a short pass. He tried to run a reverse, and Cliff Averill got him in the backfield. I think we just did a good job tackling and limiting the run after the catch or run after time he had the ball in his hand.
Speaking of tackling, Adrian Peterson is one of the toughest guys to bring down the NFL. Is there anything special you coach your players to do to bring him down?
I don't know. You can really change those things based on an opponent. It's definitely a team effort. One guy out of their gap, he's going to find that hole. He's very good at setting those things up. He can go to distance on anything. He can threaten the inside, and he can threaten, you know, he threatens every gap along the front, outside, inside, pass game, everything else. I think it has to be a team effort, and he has to have a gang tackling mentality when it comes to playing him.
It's shaping up to be another record-setting year league-wide in terms of passing. Do you think the new rules on limits on padded practices and so forth have anything to do with that?
No, I think it's good quarterbacks and good wide receivers. I think, I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Jim, you guys have been much better on the road starting, I guess, with tail end of the 2010 season on. Other than improving, is there a reason for that? Do you think home field isn't what it used to be, or...?
I think you're a good team when you're on the road. If you don't get affected by crowd noise and things like that. A lot has to do with your quarterback and Stafford and all the quarterbacks that we've had here, Sean Hill, Drew Stanton, those guys that have been involved in winning games on the road, didn't let those things affect them, particularly over the last, like you said, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it's been. But the most important thing when you go on the road is just having good players that coach well in a scheme and have good roles and doing those kind of things. That's the most important thing. I think it helps us that when we have gotten down, that we know that we can catch up. We know that we can get stops on defense. We know that we can score on offense. And I think that makes a difference. That belief makes a difference when you're on the road. It's very easy when you're on the road to get down a score or get down two scores and be out of the game at that point. And we find a way to keep on fighting and finish those games. A lot of it's because of the confidence of the players that we have on the field.
Is Minnesota a particularly difficult place to play on the road compared to other stadiums?
It's loud. Ford Field can get really loud when our fans are going, and Minnesota's the same way. Pretty much all the NFC North are difficult places to play. Lambeau's a difficult place. Soldier Field's a difficult place. It's probably the loudest stadium because it's indoors and our fans understand it.
What kind of adjustments do you have to make, though, in those kind of environments where the noise is that much of a factor? Is there something you have to be particularly on top of your game with?
Same stuff as, at some point when you can't hear, you can't hear. Twice as much noise when you can hear doesn't really change you to do anything or cause you to do anything different.
You think that this team has largely gotten more mentally resilient and tougher mentally in the last couple of years, able to handle things better?
I don't know. It's very difficult to deal with losing. I mean, I think that one of the things that that we've had to sort of work through is, in the past, we were good at putting losses behind us and good at moving on to the next opponent, things like that. Our challenge was, sort of putting the wind behind us and playing from the lead and those kind of things. So I wouldn't necessarily say we're any tougher than, those guys that went through 0-16. It takes a lot of toughness to make it through that. And I think that it's about putting good players on the field, and the guys have confidence in the players that are on the field. And when that's the case, offensively, defensively, special teams, you're gonna be resilient. You're gonna fight through things, because if you're down 10 points late in the game, you know that you can come back. I think there's a confidence that goes along. Maybe toughness is used. I think all teams are tough, but maybe there's a confidence that goes with it.
You talked a little bit yesterday about the improvements you made on special teams, since that last Minnesota game, and since nothing was really schematic. Was there anything Danny did just to change things up, change meeting times, just to, jolt guys a little bit?
No, we've been careful about that. I mean, you don't want to panic and change. I mean, there were reasons. I mean, they returned one punt for a touchdown. I mean, we have guys in position right there to make the play. All of a sudden you start changing things and you show, panic as a staff and stuff like that. A couple guys ended up moving in different positions. A lot of that had more to do with getting guys back from injury and fitting guys in that way than it did with anything else. And, just get guys back into the roles that they were comfortable in. And it was very difficult to do in the first part of the year. It continues to be difficult. The person that's affected most by injuries is special teams coach. Offense, defense, you plug the next guy in, but all of a sudden that chain reaction, that one domino falls, and it makes it very difficult to, get the next guy in. I mean, DeAndre Levy's been out the last 2 weeks. Ashley Palmer stepped up and started. Well, Ashley Palmer is one of our core special teams guy. So there's a trickle-down effect that goes along with that, and all of a sudden putting a less experienced guy out there or taxing a guy more than he's used to. He's playing, all the special teams reps and all the offensive or defensive snaps. It affects him more than, injuries affect a special team coach more than offense or defensive coach.
Calvin also mentioned, again, the hit where he felt he might have had a concussion in week four. Are there symptoms a player can have that kind of maybe be a false indicator of that, where he felt he could have had it, but the protocol wouldn't show it?
I don't know. He wasn't concussed.
Thank you.